What determines the quality of your life? More than anything, according to research, it's the quality of your relationships. That's the insight at the heart of the new book, Relationshift: Unleash the Surprising Power of Relationships to Change Yourself, Remake Your Life, and Achieve Any Business Goal by Justin Blaney. Justin is a professor, a serial entrepreneur, and the author of 12 books. And here he is to share five big ideas from his latest.
Hi there, I'm Justin Blaney, author of Relationshift: Unleash the Surprising Power of Relationships to Change Yourself, Remake Your Life, and Achieve Any Business Goal. Everyone knows that relationships change us, for better or worse, but we can take far greater control of how people affect our life path. I call that process Relationshift. I've discovered that very few people use the power of Relationshift to reach their potential. I was one of them. However, whether we are aware of this process doesn't change the fact that those around us push us in different directions. Our lack of understanding about Relationshift can lead people we admire to affect us negatively and cause us to miss out on relationships with people we never realized could improve our lives. In short, we hand the keys of our life over to others without mapping where they're really taking us. Making the most of Relationshift means we can better control who we are becoming. Sometimes our romantic partners, friends, family, mentors, and colleagues help us grow into healthier, happier versions of ourselves. And in other ways, the same people can lead us to indulge our negative tendencies, harm our self-love, and inhibit our possibilities. This is a universal concept. I've studied the autobiographies of visionaries across history, including Frederick Douglass, the Beastie Boys, and Gertrude Bell. None of them existed in isolation. They all had people around them who shaped who they became. I've also lived my story of incredible transformation, from growing up dirt poor to having the freedom to live anywhere and do meaningful work, and from contemplating suicide to living a life full of overwhelming love and happiness. Here are five key concepts from my book, Relationshift, that explore how to make the most of the positive influences that are available to us while minimizing or eliminating the negative impact relationships can exert on us. Key takeaway 1. People change us for better or worse. The key is accepting the good ways people can change us while rejecting or ignoring how they might influence us in ways that make us worse. Jim Rohn famously said that we are the average of the five people we spend the most time with. This aspect of human nature is familiar to all, whether we are actively aware of it or not. Besides the physical proclivities inherited through our genes from our parents, such as the color of our hair, our athletic abilities, or the degree to which we're extroverted or introverted, most of who we are is because of nurturing forces. For example, I was the youngest son of a drug-dealing con man. That might sound like a strange childhood, but to me it was normal. I built a treehouse with my dad and went to the fair like countless other children, albeit with a few differences. For instance, when the treehouse was finished, Dad showed me how the high vantage point made it easier to spot police or rival drug dealers with plenty of time to run out the back gate. Dad used some of the same misdirection for our first visit to the county fair. We didn't go in the front entrance like all the other families. We waited until it was take your child to work day. Dad dressed as a maintenance worker and snuck us in the employee entrance with a fake name badge. When a child shares similarities with their parents, people say, the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. But as we all know, everyone, not just our parents, have the potential to shape us. Friends can even affect inherited traits such as hair color, like if we color our hair blue because we hang around people who think that's cool. Or even those who aren't naturally good at running may never win an Olympic medal, but they can learn to run quite a bit better if they hire a trainer to help them get into shape. On the other hand, if we have an athlete's genes but all our friends opt for the pub every evening instead of taking a walk, the idea of getting into shape may never occur to us. We don't spend much time thinking about how people we love and respect can positively influence us in some areas of our life, yet be a lousy influence in others. To make the most of improving our life through Relationshift, we must learn to allow our connections to aid us while limiting their negative impact on us in ways that could be holding us back. Here's a real-life example. My friend Tina is a mature, wise, and loving person. She has taught me how to be a better father, husband, and friend. For example, she's shown me how to be tough when times are hard and how to fight for what I believe in. However, Tina is also a workaholic. I find this side of her rubbing off on me sometimes in ways that aren't aligned with how I want to live my life. She can be judgmental of those who aren't willing to work 12 hours a day, 7 days a week, and put up with toxic colleagues. This has caused me to feel pressure to work harder without regard to the effectiveness of the work or whether the work is aligned with my life dreams. Other mentors have taught me to work smarter, not harder, to delegate more, to do the tasks that add the most value and pay the most per hour, so I'm earning more and working less. Though Tina is an excellent influence on relating with friends and family, I must learn to mitigate her relationship regarding work-life balance. It's not that she's wrong, but her work ethic isn't aligned with how I want to design my life. Without passing judgment, it's essential to realize that some people we admire may pull us away from the vision we have for our life. Simply being aware of this is the first step to more freedom. Key takeaway 2. The simplest way to apply relationship is to curate traits you want to embody by emulating people who have them. We can quickly use relationship to improve specific aspects of our life by learning to emulate people who embody the traits we admire at a high level. It's a simple yet powerful method you can start doing immediately. For example, my former business partner was successful in many businesses. When I worked with him, Salid must have been running more than a dozen profitable companies at once, ranging from a flight school to a chain of gyms in the Southwest to marijuana edibles. I didn't realize how successful he was until I walked into his magnificent home with this wall-to-wall view of lakes and mountains, a full-size basketball court, and a multi-level movie theater that featured life-size replicas of Gandalf, Mickey Mouse, and Darth Vader. Yet when it came time to start a new project with me, he didn't hesitate to get his hands dirty with the smallest of details, performing tasks many people of his success level wouldn't dream of doing. Salid told me his philosophy. He couldn't ask anyone to do something he hadn't done himself, and he didn't hesitate to take on work far below his pay grade to understand it inside and out. In one situation, we discussed solar panel sales using a process I developed. I asked him if I could work with one of his top salespeople to test the method in the field. He looked confused. "I'm going to sell them myself," Salid said. I was shocked. Having worked with many highly successful sales executives who never once would think to volunteer to call customers, a task that is far more difficult than most other jobs I've come across. Just imagine people hanging up on you, being rude, ghosting you when it comes time for payment, and getting doors slammed in your face. I think of Salid when I don't want to work on something that must be done. If this incredibly successful person who doesn't need to do anything is willing to get his hands dirty and do whatever is necessary to make a project successful, I feel more enabled to get through a task I'm avoiding. You can also use this principle in your personal life. Do you ever feel touched when you hear someone give a great toast at a party? I'm not naturally quick on my feet when it comes to speaking. I often get nervous and tend to overthink what I want to say in a public setting, even if it's just around my friends. However, I have a former boss who gave the best toast at business lunches and dinners. When he stood to talk, everyone in the room put their phones and menus down. The room became instantly silent. He paused as he spoke to add gravitas to his words. He was, in turns, loud and quiet, to pull people in. He was funny. He made broad gestures with his hands. He told stories. He complimented people in the room. His air demanded attention, and his confidence drew everyone in. I may never give a toast that gets close to this response, but when I stand up to face my loved ones at dinner, I imagine my old boss. I channel him somewhere between a subconscious and conscious level. I don't copy him or try to be him. I do it my way. I'm different from him and have other things to say in different situations. But by having an image of him in my head, I find I'm able to overcome some of my nervousness, add a bit more gravitas to my words, expect a bit more attention, make more confident eye contact with my guests, and even believe that me, or anyone else, can speak eloquently without a word planned ahead of time. It's a small thing, but I find it makes me enjoy giving toasts more. If I stand up and tell a bunch of friends something meaningful to me, I might as well do it as best as I can. Key takeaway 3. What limits us more than anything else is a threefold combination of our mental immune system, our drive to accumulate evolutionary capital at all costs, and that, more often than not, we don't know what we don't know. The people in our life enable or limit our goals, and even what we think is possible. The best way to discover how much more is possible is by surrounding ourselves with the kinds of people who know more than we do. We can tend to misunderstand advice because we're interpreting it in light of what we already know and how we see the world. But the person giving the advice is giving it based on how they see the world and what they know. Someone can't possibly recap their entire life of knowledge in a few sentences of advice. So the gap between what we know and what they know can lead to misinterpretation or misunderstanding. You might have experienced this if you ever asked someone good at something to explain it to you. They might have even shown frustration at your question or lack of understanding. This is because they have a hard time imagining what it's like to be in your shoes. They can only see the world through their lens of understanding. It all seems so simple to them based on their lifetime of knowledge, so they get frustrated when you aren't getting it. This phenomenon also explains why it can be so difficult to achieve personal growth by relying only on books, podcasts, and other forms of one-way communication. These are limited in length and can't possibly explain every angle and every nuance and anticipate the unique lens through which the listener or reader is receiving the information. In short, a lot of crucial data is lost in the translation from giver to receiver, and that critical information is often essential to fully use the lesson shared. Complicating matters further is something that I call a mental immune system that blocks ideas it doesn't recognize. The problem with greater learning isn't access to knowledge, as we can all access nearly all of humanity's collective wisdom on our phones. It's that we often don't know which ideas to adopt and which to reject. When our body works correctly, a collection of white blood cells work together to keep foreign contaminants from killing us. But sometimes our immune system gets confused. It can attack good cells, which can cause death via many types of illness. Other times, our body doesn't recognize the dangerous contaminants, allowing them to thrive. Similarly, our mental immune system accepts or rejects new information based on its inherently limited and subjective view of that idea. This often diminishes our ability to achieve goals or live the life of our dreams. We call this subconscious immune system our worldview or personal lens. Our mental immune system exists partly because of the same reason our physical immune system does. We evolved over millions of years because of a highly developed drive to survive, multiply, and improve ourselves. While this has helped us become the most advanced species in the known universe, it also creates many modern problems. We are motivated to accumulate evolutionary capital, or e-capital, which manifests in our everyday instincts. These instincts power our mental immune system and can cause us to chase after goals in ways that hurt us. An example is a person who wants to earn more money to do things that make them happy, but never actually gets to the joyful part because they're so obsessed with making money. The key to overcoming our mental immune system, our unhealthy desire for e-capital, and revealing blind spots holding us back starts with a simple recognition that these factors exist and could be hurting our ability to be the person we most want to be. In the book, I go into much greater detail on moving beyond recognition to take actionable steps towards conquering these limiting factors. Key takeaway 4. Some people can help us change more quickly and powerfully than others. I call this transformational gravity. If someone can pull you towards them with great power and velocity, they have strong gravity. If they don't affect your course or outcome much, their gravitational pull is weak. Think of your journey as a dotted line between where you are today and who you want to become. Mentors, people further along the dotted line you wish to travel, pull you toward themselves and your goal through the relational tie that binds you. Suppose you want to become a famous movie director. In that case, you will do better to live in LA, where the movie business is based, and serve as the assistant to a prominent director like Steven Spielberg, versus working in Kansas City as an editor for a local news network. When someone is just a little ahead of us on the path, that person's gravitational pull on us is weak, and we relationship slower as a result. But when someone is very far ahead, their magnetism increases, and we move further, faster. Key takeaway 5. How to get high caliber or high gravity people to be part of your inner circle. Humans developed an intense instinct to help those in our tribe. We depended on shared well-being for hundreds of thousands of years to survive. We love to help people in our tribe because, in part, it satisfies an instinctual desire to help ourselves. Likewise, we are disinclined to help those who are not members of our tribe. We subconsciously perceive outsiders to be a threat. Regardless of whether or not our resources are scarce, we are likely to feel there isn't enough for everyone. So the key to getting people to help you is simple. You must become a part of their tribe. In the 21st century, many tribes still exist, but these tribes are very different from the ones we lived in while first developing our human instincts. Some of our modern tribes contain millions of people with common ancestry and shared belief systems. However, regardless of whether we are part of a cultural, religious, or political tribe, everyone perceives a subconscious form of tribal connection with individuals who may share something in common with us. For example, alums, sports clubs, political, and philanthropic groups are famous for being rich with opportunities for their members. This sense of shared citizenship can come from countless aspects of life, including attending the same climbing gym, shopping at the same grocery store, or riding the same light rail to work each day. If you want someone to help you, find a way to get them to perceive you as part of one of their subconscious tribes. 3 other tactics for gaining the trust and attention of high-gravity people include helpfulness. You stand out when you provide value with no strings attached. Persistence. Achieving meaningful connections with sought-after people can take time. Thus, sticking with the process until you reach your goal is critical. And readiness. You must be ready at any time to make the most of the opportunities to connect with high-gravity people when they happen. That wraps up my 5 key takeaways from Relationshift. If I could sum up the book in one sentence, fill your life with the right people and your life will be full. Thank you so much for listening.
Thank you, Justin. That was Justin Blaney with 5 big ideas from Relationshift. Unleash the surprising power of relationships to change yourself, remake your life, and achieve any business goal. Also, check out The Lost Art of Connecting, the Gather, Ask, Do method for building meaningful business relationships by Susan McPherson. I'm Michael Kovnat. Thanks for listening.